Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 22nd. Jen and I are back with you to entertain you or depress the shit out of you. Depends how you see it. I was kind of listening.
Can we change our show slogan?
I was listening to the show a little bit yesterday. I thought, God, we were so low energy yesterday. We got to bring it up a little bit, a notch or two, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have like game time where we have like little games that we do or something.
Either that or just, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying really hard to find positive news. It's hard. So
I know.
I picked the negative news. But, no, we have a guest calling in. We're going to be talking about more positive things.
Great.
As opposed to yesterday, we were talking about abortion and stuff like that, which
is a heavy topic.
Heavy topic.
Not much brightness there.
No, not a lot, really, you know.
Mm-hmm. But it's all right.
Nobody likes it. But, so, you know, we're going to bring it up a notch today, trying to anyway, and try to keep you entertained in these trying times.
Sure.
Yesterday was, it's been cooling down a little bit, right?
Yes.
Quite a bit, actually.
It's been nice.
So yesterday I leave the house. We came here, right? It was nice and everything.
Mm.
I leave at 1 o'clock. It was 105 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
What the hell's going on here? We can't catch a break.
There was a nice warm breeze.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't catch a break.
On Monday, I was on set all day, and they had us waiting outside. And they also had me in a sweater. So I was in a sweater waiting outside the whole day.
You were wearing a sweater? Why?
For the scene. Because the scene is supposed to take place in the fall.
Oh, okay.
So I was just in a sweater in the sun all day.
Oh, God.
And the sweater belonged to wardrobe. So when I gave it back, I was like, I hope it's not too sweaty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go throw it in the machine.
Yeah, seriously. Yikes.
That's tough. That's tough to wear a sweater in weather like this. My God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not good.
Yeah. So what were you doing? You were acting and stuff?
Yeah, it was for a commercial. So
okay.
I was basically sitting at a table, you know, pretending to have lunch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What kind of, like a commercial for the restaurant or?
No, it was a commercial for, what's it called? Noom. It's like this like weight loss program. Mm. Not really a program. It's more they teach you reasons why you're overeating. So it's more like the psychology behind weight loss.
Right.
And people have found it to be really effective. So I hear it's a really great program.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't overeat, but I gain weight. You know, I don't know. I need to start working out a little bit. I need to start walking like I've been planning to do.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not burning off anything. I mean, I really don't eat a lot, you know. I eat like one sandwich a day and then in the evening a salad and something, you know. I mean, sometimes, you know, we might go out to dinner and it might be something a little, you know, more calories and stuff. But but for the most part, it's not like I really eat a lot, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I might grab a little ice cream here and there, but.
Right,
but you
got to
really burn it off, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And also the problem is the thing is we think that our metabolism slows as we age, but recent tests show that our metabolism pretty much stays the same from around 20 years old to about, I think, 70 years old. So your metabolism actually stays the same, and the only reasons that it drops is inactivity. Because with inactivity, we're not burning calories and we're not building muscle.
Right.
And so when you build muscle, you can burn calories while sitting. Yeah.
How do I bring myself to work out, man? I don't know. First of all, I don't have time, but I need to make time at least for walking, you know?
Yeah, just walk 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, well, try to find those 30 minutes, you know?
I know.
It's late at night, like 9 o'clock at night. I'm tired already, you know?
Sure.
And during the day, it's hot, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I need to do something, man, something. I just don't like it, you know?
Do you maybe get a stationary bike? You can sit it and use it while, you know, at the TV or...
Yeah, but, you know, I get those. I don't ever use them. You know, you buy it and then it just becomes like a doorstop.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't even like see anymore. It just becomes part of the decor.
Part of the decor, exactly.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Funny. That's
I mean,
so
I
true.
Got this little thing that it's like a bicycle, but it makes you turn your legs sideways instead of forward.
Mm.
So you use different muscles,
mm.
and so it's pretty good. But I don't use it.
Yeah,
it's just sitting there. You know,
I would say. What's helped me at times when I haven't felt like getting up and working out is scheduling a class for myself or scheduling a session with a trainer. So that way I have an appointment. It's not left up to me to just wake up and decide, okay, it's time to start. Because I'm just going to be like, well, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to do that. And then before you know it, it's 8 p.m. and I'm like, well, and then I'm just like stressed out the whole day thinking about when I'm going to get it done.
Right.
And then finally, like 10 p.m., I'm like, you know what? Tomorrow. So I could have just said tomorrow earlier in the day, or I could have just done it, you know, and just let myself off the hook either way. Because I've never worked out and said, man, I regret doing that.
Yeah, right.
But I've definitely like skipped workouts and been like, man, I feel like shit. I should have done that.
Right.
So like I've also switched my gaze from... thinking about it in terms of I need to work out to lose weight to I need to work out because it makes me feel better, you know,
right?
Because it really does. It makes my brain feel better. It makes my body feel better. Everything feels better. I feel like I'm digesting food better. Like if I sit around all day, I feel like I can just like I don't feel like I'm properly digesting everything. I feel like it's just kind of sitting on me, you know. It's like if you have a big lunch and then you sit around all day. By the time it's time to eat dinner, like you're not really hungry because you still feel the lunch sitting on you. Whereas when I work out, I feel like I'm hungry every 3 hours or 4 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd say just make an appointment for something.
Yeah. Well, easier said than done. I mean, I just had to cancel my therapist because I've been having to cancel because of work. You know, things come up, comes up, that comes up. And, so I had to cancel that. Now I don't know what time I'm going to find that actually will work for me, you know.
Sure.
And for them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to find a different therapist because his schedule's pretty full.
Yeah.
So to find a time for working out is even worse, you know. Harder, I mean. And
but, you know, whatever work you have, you can't let the self-care stuff fall to the wayside.
Yeah, but what can you do? I mean, you got to be there. You got to be there. You know, it's
very
simple.
No, I get it. I know, I get it.
You know, and, but it's important. I mean, I don't want to put, to cancel therapy or not work out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's just going to have to be more flexible. I can't do it with a trainer, you know.
Sure.
I would have to cancel all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's, you know, that's one thing about living in L.A. It's like a labor camp here. I mean, you work all the time. Everybody works all the fucking time, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, not everyone's working just one job. Like,
right.
A lot of the people are working, like, multiple jobs. Like, I mean, the amount of time I spend driving around is insane. Like, I'm constantly driving from this location to that location to that location to home for a couple hours to that location to that location. Wow. Like, it never stops, you know. New York's similar too, except, you know, less
that's
fun.
It's the big city, you know. I mean, we have to I guess finance our lifestyle somehow.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know. We'll see. We have a guest calling in a few minutes. We're gonna be talking about having a fabulous life and everything. I think we all could use some of that right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
So we'll get some advice from people who know maybe better than we do. I don't know.
Maybe. I've been enjoying myself lately, which is good.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear.
Yeah.
You're in a good headspace.
Yeah. I really realized that I hate a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I hate a 9-to-5. I really like scattered hours. I just do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you learned that about yourself. You know?
I also hate a 9-to-5 when you're working for a nightmare.
Yeah. You did work for a nightmare. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've stayed way longer than I would have.
Oh, I expired long, long ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But you did what you had to do, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Expired.
It did.
But you finally took the step and ended it, you know, which
is
good.
I did. Yeah. I wrote a really nice long letter to them, too, like talking about just like everything they put me through.
Really?
And I sent it to them and I was like, we're not going to work together anymore. I read it to my therapist, too, and he was like, that was a very, very great closure email. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, you got to let them know. No, you can't let them get away with the shit.
Yeah, totally.
Just let them know.
I know, because the thing is, like, people who have money or power or money or power because of money, like, nobody ever puts them in their place.
Right.
You know, they just get away with, like, doing mean shit to people and then paying for a spa day for them so that they can... Right. You know, mitigate the trauma that they cause them. But the thing is, they're never held accountable. Nobody ever says anything because they're afraid to either lose their job or lose an opportunity, or they're afraid that, like, you know, because when you work for wealthy people, they give you little tiny bits here and there. They're like, hey, if you do this really great thing, I'll give you this really awesome item that you've said that you loved before. Or like, if you do this, then I'll pay for you to have this done. And so like, you're constantly being put in compromised situations in exchange for gifts or for bonuses and things like that. And so people never want to cause ripples in that relationship when they're working for somebody wealthy, because they're afraid that not only because they're a lot of times volatile people and they don't want to deal with that wrath because they will flip out. They also don't want to deal with potentially jeopardizing their finances, because in my experience, a lot of times people with money have held paychecks. That's what, you know, the woman I was working for did. She would, you know, help hold my paycheck in exchange for other things. Like,
that is awful.
Like,
you know?
Pay me once a month and then say, like, well, if you do this or give me this or make this happen for me, then I'll pay your invoice.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so people are just so afraid to cause ripples because of how it might affect them.
Right.
So that it's always yes, 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 and you bend over backwards and you do all these things, and then they come to expect you to do all these things and bend over backwards. And before you know it, you're down this rabbit hole of like, what the hell is going on now? Like, why do I feel like this every day? Why am I trapped like this every day? Right. And it's a combination of both of your faults, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hold that thought. We'll go back to it.
Great.
And we're going to take our guest now. Let's bring up the notes real quick.
Same.
And we're going to be talking to Dr. Alan Leica. Good morning, Alan. Are you on the line with us?
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good. I'm here with Jen. Thank you for calling us.
Hi there.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be in L.A. today.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. So you are here physically, huh, in L.A.?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, you know,
very
it's
cool.
An interesting story. I'm here because I won a Quilly Award.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
What was that award for?
You know what a Quilly Award is?
No, tell us.
A Quilly Award is an award for a best-selling author.
Wow.
It's like an Academy Award.
Wow.
Congratulations.
There you go. I do see it in the notes here. I knew you won awards and stuff, but I didn't know it was called Quilly. Now I do.
Well, this is one of the many awards I've won. This is the most amazing. I can't believe it.
Good for you. When did that happen?
Well, it's actually coming tomorrow night. I'm getting awarded. I'm in town for all the festivities around it. There's a full week of the festivities for people that have won these awards.
How cool for you, man. That's very nice. Where did you fly in from? Where do you live?
I live in a little place called Edmonton, Alberta. You know where that is?
In Canada, yes. I've heard of it.
Yes, it was the former home of Wayne Gretzky, the same guy that came to you and made your team great.
That's true.
Wow.
He did, didn't he? Wow. So you're a Canadian?
Yes, but if you listen carefully, I say hey every now and again.
Okay, well, if we catch you saying that, we'll pretend we didn't hear. But before you wrote books, you're also a doctor. You're a cosmetic dermatologist. How long have you been doing that?
You know, I was one of the best, and I say this humbly, cosmetic dermatologists for over 30 years. But my life changed in 2003 in a sad and remarkable way that I should share with your listeners, because they could probably find some meaning in their life because of this.
Okay.
Let me share that with you, please.
Go ahead.
Okay. In 2003, I was misdiagnosed as ALS. I'll tell you the story briefly. I was walking in Disneyland with my wife, Lucy, and she said, "What's wrong with you, hon?" And mysteriously and suddenly, my right foot developed a drop. She insisted I get testing, and I got a lot of testing. And a world-class neurologist said to me, "Dr. Leica, get your affairs in order. In 6 months, you're going to be dead. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease."
Jeez.
It was a monumental event in my life. It was terrible.
I can imagine.
It was just awful. And, you know, but, you know, I was misdiagnosed, thank goodness. I actually had chronic Lyme disease, and I could continue to do my work as a cosmetic surgeon for over 30 years. I arose from that adversity despite the crippling that the disease caused me.
Right. Wow.
Now, I have a question. Did that same doctor give you the correct diagnosis?
Unfortunately not. He didn't even know what Lyme's disease was. I had to seek out many doctors for it, and I found a doctor in Colorado Springs by the name of David Martz that gave me the proper diagnosis. He set me on the right path, thank goodness.
Oh, wow. Do you ever call that other doctor and tell him? Because that's a hell of a diagnosis.
In the hallway of my hospital, I used to joke with him. I'd say, "Great diagnosis, sir. You sure hit the nail on the head that time."
Yeah, wow. That's terrible, man. I mean, you know, we grow up trusting doctors and everything they say, and we put our lives in their hands, and then they come up with this kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's traumatizing.
Unfortunately, a doctor can only know what he knows.
Right.
And if all you know is one thing, you just don't go outside that box. And that's the sad thing about it.
Right.
So I encourage anybody who's had a diagnosis to please check it out and check it out against other sources, because sometimes doctors are wrong.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I think the message I'd like to get across is it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens.
Right.
So I think that's important for everything in life. I mean, we'd be nailed with COVID right now. The whole world has. But, you know, you could take that as a bad thing or it's a good thing based on what you do every day.
Right.
Yeah.
How would you look at it as a good thing, for example?
You know, for once in our lives, we had this opportunity to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
They forced us to stay in our houses. Oh, my goodness, what a terrible thing, you know. Most of our houses are equipped with everything. And now, because of COVID, we have delivery services for our houses, from groceries to our laundry picked up. We have almost amazing things. Plus, we have Zoom, so we could talk to people around the world and really communicate in a better way. And it's become a nice, the world is an amazing place if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
That's a stretch, I feel, but okay, if you feel that way, you know. I mean, the thing is that...
Sam, what do you feel? Sam, what do you feel?
Well, I feel pretty much overwhelmed with this COVID thing, and then things that are... It sort of like opened up the door to things that are happening that we thought would never happen. In other words, now it's as though now we're prepared for everything to happen, for anything. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know that we're prepared, but at the same time, I'm feeling very insecure about about living in this reality right now, to be honest with you.
Sam, I hear you, and I hear that every day when I talk to people.
Right.
But I've said, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens.
Right.
So, you know, every event is really under your control, everything that goes on. You know, if you take that responsibility, you can make this world a better place as a result of it.
Yeah. Makes sense. Your book, you wrote a book called The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, and that's a promising book. You wrote this with Harriet Tinker, when was this published?
You know, this came out just during the pandemic, and it became that bestseller. It took a number of years to write it, but it came out during the pandemic. And basically, the message is, two survivors revealed the 13 golden pearls they've discovered. You know, because we went through such adversity, Harriet in a different adversity than me, we really found some amazing golden pearls to live by. And we found some amazing things that are inside of each and every one of us. Do you know what forms a pearl, Sam?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How does a pearl form in nature?
Oh, in a shell, right? They form in a shell,
yeah, let me, under pressure, or something.
I'm not sure.
No, a little grain of sand gets inside of an oyster, and it traumatizes that oyster.
I see.
But what happens is this beautiful stone comes out, and in the South Pacific, that's where golden pearls are formed. Now, these golden pearls are in each and every one of us. And you just have to look inside to find them. Mm. And if you did, you find just amazing, wonderful things as a result of it.
Yeah. I believe you. Now,
let me give you an example of one of those golden pearls.
Right.
And I'll tell you a little story to try and tell you about that. There was a carpenter by the name of Sam, and he was tired. He was 65 years of age, and he wanted to retire. You know, he had lost his enthusiasm, so he went to his boss, and he said, "Boss, I'm done. I'm quitting." The boss said, "Hold it, Sam. You got to do one more thing for me before you retire." Sam said, "Of course I'll do that. You know, this has been the only job I've ever had. I've loved it." So the boss said, "Could you build me just one more house? You're the only man that can do it. You're my master carpenter."
Hmm.
The man, and Sam said, "Oh, of course." But his heart wasn't in it. He basically dragged his ass to work every day, and he barely got it done. For the first time in his life, he really made shoddy workmanship. But you know, a miracle happened. At the end of all this, his house passed inspection, believe it or not. So he went back to his boss and said, "I'm done. Here's the keys. I'm done." The boss said, "Hold it, Sam. We've got to have a big party." He threw a big party. He had champagne, caviar, the whole thing. And he said, Sam, as a gift to you for all the work you've done to me and all the enthusiasm you showed me, here's the keys to the last house you ever built. Live it, enjoy it with all the enthusiasm you showed me all your life."
Wow. That's a pretty
good
story.
You see the golden pearl there?
Yes.
You have to have enthusiasm every day of your life. It's not a Wednesday thing. It's not a Friday thing. It's not a Monday thing. But if you show that golden pearl every day, guess what the world is like?
Yeah. Makes sense.
I love that.
Huh, Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. So you have several pearls of wisdom like that in the book, right? You said 12
of
them? Yeah.
13 golden 13. Pearls. And they make a necklace for people, for them to enjoy and really understand the world in a better way.
Sounds good to me.
I love that. We all need a bit of positivity.
We really do, you know.
You know, there's so much negativity every day in the world right now. Yeah. I mean, I turn on my radio. There's COVID. There's war. There's Afghanistan. Oh, my goodness. Every day, it's just a smart. We need positivity right now to get to another level. We need positivity to get to a better world.
We really do. You know, I mean, I was telling Jen, I'm struggling every day to find positive things to talk about on our show, you know.
Yeah.
You go through the news and almost everything is negative and doomsday and, you know, and you go, you know, how can a person survive this, you know?
Well, let me tell you a little thing, and I've got a gift for you and everybody on this radio station.
Okay.
Everybody can get a free digital copy of my book today. All they have to do is go to 13gpnow.ca. 13, because there's 13 golden pearls. GP, because there's golden pearls, now.ca. 13gpnow.ca. And that will give you the positivity you need. And I love everybody to have that positivity.
Thank
I'm
so
giving
much.
This away because I want the world to be a gentler, kinder place.
Right. Now, what, so you were, had you written anything before this book? Like in the form of
you
a
know,
book?
You know, as a doctor, I wrote over 17 books in medicine. And in the public space, I wrote 3 bestsellers during the great pandemic of 2020.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
You know, here you are thriving at a time where a lot of people are not. So there's a good example.
Again, that's the opportunity that was given to us during the COVID pandemic.
Right.
We were forced to stay in our houses, a terrible thing. But look what can come out of it if people really put their mind to it.
Right.
And I'm going to challenge everybody listening to the show today. I'd like them to do something that they don't regularly do. If they do something for their neighbors or their community, just something small, a baby step, it'll make the world a better place. You know, bake a dozen cookies and give it to your neighbor. Give a neighbor a smile across the fence. Talk to somebody. Do something that's nice. Guess what will happen? That positivity will come out everywhere.
Right. No, we do need that. I mean, there's just not enough of it on the planet right now. You know, we got to make it happen somehow.
Hey, Doc, do you believe in the law of attraction?
You know, I think the law of attraction is a simple thing where it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
Mm.
Things are attracted by you actually happening, make them happen.
Right.
You know, little things you do make a big difference in the world.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true.
You know, I'll tell you the points in my life when I've been really sad and down and negative, nothing good ever happened. You know,
yeah.
Like the whole time I lived in New York, I was really negative. I was not in a good headspace. And I was really like a teenager listening to a sad, rebellious song on my worst day, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I have exuded positivity and tried to, you know, just like live in the moment, live in the present instead of living in like the past or the future or fear or whatever, more positive things do come to me.
You know, and I think, again, that's just the principle that I said, you know.
Mm.
You know, if you look at the world in a negative, negative way, you see everything negative.
Right.
If you look at it positive, everything becomes positive. But even more than that, if you do positive little acts, it catalyzes it and makes the world a bigger, stronger place. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It really makes a big difference, those little efforts.
Sure.
Right.
And I do believe that it's important to note that, you know, this positive mindset change isn't something that people need to feel pressure to immediately just suddenly, you know, in the next hour of their life, just suddenly become a positive person. Like it happens over time with small positive actions.
You know, I think the world is built on little baby steps, little tiny steps.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes when you take a baby step in one direction, it doesn't work. But, you know, the next time you take it, it may not work. But the third time, it works. And those little baby steps all make the difference.
Right. Yeah, makes a difference. Well, definitely lots of pearls of wisdom there. The book is The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. We're talking to Dr. Alan Lyka. That's Lyka. And you wrote this with Harriet Tinka. A shout out to her. And tell people where they can find out more about you. I'm sure you have more information that supports the book online.
Oh, of course. Of course, you can go to my website, Dr. Alan Leica. That's DrAllen Leica, Lyckaa. And please get a free copy of my book at 13gpnow.ca. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love everybody to have it. If you'd like to reach me, that's the best way. That's the best way to do it.
That's kind of you. Thank you so much for making it available. And so then everybody can get a little glimpse of the way you look at things, you know, and it makes sense. It really does. And
well, Sam, you know, it's really so kind of you having me here today. And I thank you and your co-host for that. It really is. It's a wonderful thing that you had me.
Thank you. Thank you. Well,
we needed it.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, we thought we would need a little piece of, encouragement, you know, to bring us up a little bit.
Mm.
Definitely helps.
You know, as I said, it's those baby steps that make the world a better place. Right. And I encourage everybody to do something that they don't regularly do. Pay it forward. Go out there and do something for their neighbor or their community. A nice little thing today. And that will change things. It'll make you more grateful for things. And when you're grateful, marvelous things happen.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I know that I feel good when I give people something, you know, mm-hmm. rather than wait for them to give me something. It's a
you know, and
feeling.
One of the greatest gifts is a little gift of your time. Right. One of the greatest gifts.
Right. True. True. Well, Dr. Alan Leica, thank you so much for calling in this morning. Everybody,
thanks,
check out the book. And congratulations on winning awards and everything. That means that you've really put in an effort to make something that people notice, you know, and it's well deserved.
You know, thank you so much, and you know, it's just a thrill being here in LA and winning this Quillie Award, this Academy Award for best-selling authors. In mm-hmm. my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have believed I could have done that.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. there you go. You see, it's the power of the mind.
Power of the mind.
All right. Well, Dr. Alan Leica, thank you so much again, and all the best to you. Enjoy your stay in L.A.
Enjoy. Thank you.
And always have good memories.
Thank you. Well, I always do every time I'm here. It's an amazing city. I love this city.
Yeah, yeah. It's a one of a kind. Yeah, there's no other place like Hollywood, you know?
Yes, for sure. Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I want you to have a fantastic day. And certainly, you know, spend a couple of minutes and enjoy it as it goes along.
Right.
Remember, it's the journey, not the destination. Remember, it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
There you go. And that sums it up. Thanks again. And all the best to you.
Take care.
All the best to you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what people in the know say. You know, mm-hmm. that it's really not what happens to you, but how you view it, you know, how you respond to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the saying, when life gives you lemons, what are you going to do with it? Lemonade.
Yeah.
You know? Or another kind of delicious lemony dessert.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. We needed that.
Yeah.
You know? I feel more positive already.
Do you?
I do.
Good.
Are you going to read the book?
Good. Yeah, I'll read the book. I need some encouragement, you know?
Yeah.
Because to me, for some reason, staying at home is not, I don't see this as a positive thing. Many people do, but to me, it's not positive at all.
You also live alone.
But I don't stay at home, you know, but yeah.
You live alone. Like right. for me, during the pandemic, you know, I went home to visit for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. And I got to just hang out with my mom and my sister, and my brother came for a bit, and we all just got to kind of got to hang out at home, and we went to the beach a little bit, and yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
You know, because my siblings are 10 years older than me.
Right.
So when I was growing up, they were always out of the house. So I never really, I'm kind of like an honorary only child. Like, I didn't really grow up around siblings. You know, there was a little bit of torture earlier in my childhood. and then once they got old enough to go party with friends, they were pretty much gone. So, you know, for me, I've never really had like a big, you know, like an idea of a family unit. It was always like me and my mom, or me and my dad, or me, my mom and dad together.
Right.
So for me, it was really nice to have like the whole group together. I mean, of course, minus my dad, cause he's passed, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it gets old. I mean, if it, you know, it continues for a long time, you could get on each other's nerves. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that happens anyway. I get on my own nerves, you know? I mean, don't you get on your own nerves sometimes?
I don't know. Maybe I do.
I think you do. I think everyone does. You know, like, how many times am I going to lose my keys? Or, like, my apartment is only so big. Like, where could I have put this one thing? Or, like, you know, it's like you see something on a shelf every day for 6 months, and then somebody's like, hey, can you bring your thing with you? And you're like, yeah, sure. And you go to get it, and suddenly it's gone. You're like, I literally haven't touched it. It's been there. Right. Like, where is it? You know, like, that kind of thing. Gets on my, I get on my own nerves. I'm like, where could I, it have possibly gone? Or like not getting gas the night before. I'm just like, and then I get in the car, I'm like 10 minutes late, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, I should have just gotten gas last night, but I was so tired, I didn't feel like it, and now I'm running late, and it's all a rush, and it's my fault.
Yeah. Are you the kind that always wait to the last minute to put gas in the car? Or
I wait till the light goes on.
The light goes on.
My mechanic always told me it's better to run all your gas out because it can get sludgy at the bottom.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I when mine gets to a quarter, that's it. I gotta have, I'm under pressure already.
Really?
Because I always like to have plenty, you know, just in case. I don't know.
No, it's a good, it's a crazy good way to be.
It's crazy. Some people are like, they'll stay till the last drop, you know?
Sometimes. Yeah.
I don't know how people can do that, but they can.
It's a rush. It's the rush.
Some kind of rush that is.
It's the little things, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really live in fight or flight anymore, because so I've been like on this like mental health journey for quite a while, and it talks a lot about fight or flight and PTSD and stuff like that. And it's like back in the olden times, we used to have our fight or flight activated because of you know, interactions with wildlife. Like, there'd be like a bear or a lion or something, and you know, or just fighting off other humans who were trying to, like, you know, take over your area or your food or whatever. And now we don't really have that issue. Like, I'm not running into a bear trying to prevent him from eating my like food source for the day,
right,
on a daily basis. So we have these other things now that activate our fight or flight, and our threshold is much you know, less now. So smaller things can put us into fight or flight. So yeah, you know, just things like that can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, it puts a lot of stress on you, you know, mm-hmm. because you have to decide what you're going to do, you know?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it keeps you on edge. I know.
Yeah.
It's pretty,
And if you have prior trauma and prior PTSD, you know, a lot of people who have that think like, oh, okay, I've been through so much. I have so much under my belt. I can handle it. But really, those are people that sometimes can get, you know, triggered the most. They've just built up a lot of barriers to protect themselves. So it's interesting.
That's true, yeah.
Psychology's a really great.
Yeah.
I love
people
it.
People are pretty complicated.
Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, you know, people get very creative, I guess. This woman and her husband decided to give their dog a bar mitzvah. 13-year-old dog, they give it a bar mitzvah.
That's
with
great news.
A full coming-of-age ceremony.
Aww.
So they made it dog-friendly.
I love it.
Cake, and the dog's name is Rambo. So they have Mazel Tov Rambo.
Aww. I wonder what the cake's made of. My roommate makes cakes for his dog.
Yeah.
And it's usually made of like peanut butter and carrots or something.
Yeah. Let's see. Peanut butter cake.
Yeah, there you go. Dogs love peanut butter.
Yeah.
They really do.
But is it good for them? I doubt it.
I'm sure a little here and there. How much do we eat that's not good for us?
Right. But for animals, I don't know. You know, you feed dogs people food and they get sick and they get fat and it's not
true.
A good thing.
I mean, I think in moderation.
Yeah.
You know? Like if with my cats, I always give them really high grade cat food, but every now and again, I'm like, hey, you want to try this? Most of the time they don't, but you know.
Oh, really?
Like my one cat loves a little.
Because cats are like that. You know, they're like, let
dogs
me see
will eat
the,
anything.
Dogs will eat anything.
Yeah, anything and everything.
Right.
Whether it's edible or not.
And as much as you can give them and more.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they'll explode before they stop.
Yes, they will. They'll die of overstuffing. Cats will definitely just kind of maybe. Like my roommate keeps Camp Cream and he'll give my cats like a little lick every now and again. You know, I think it's fine. Dairy's not good for them. Dairy's not good for me. But every now and again, just a little bit. Tiny, tiny little.
There was a little meme I saw that shows a dog that's like really happy when you come home.
Mm.
And just a dog that's really happy. And then they show a cat and he says, you're home.
Yeah.
But the dog's jumping all over the place.
That's so funny.
You know?
My cats always come to the door when I come home.
Really?
Most of the time, yeah. So it depends if they're napping. You know? But almost always when I open the door, they're hanging out by the door.
Cats are funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of funny videos of cats out there.
They're peak comedy.
Yeah.
Cats are funny. They're very, very funny creatures, yeah. I love it.
Because they have, like, personalities, you know?
Yeah, they do. I have two, and my girl cat, she's, like, a treat fanatic. Like, she just loves treats so much. And when my mom was watching them, she, like, spoiled them with, like, she'd give them, like, a handful of treats. So now if I give them, like, less than just a couple, they just look at me like, are you kidding me? Like, what is this? And if I don't give her treats, she'll just chase me around the house and scream.
Really?
Yeah. She'll literally like, ee! Like over and over. Like I go into my room, she jumps up on the bed, looks at me, screams.
Wow.
I go into the bathroom, she jumps up on the counter, looks at me, screams. I go into the kitchen, she just keeps screaming, screaming, screaming.
Wow.
The whole time. My roommate thinks it's the funniest thing. I'm just like.
It is funny.
It is funny, yeah. It can be a little stressful sometimes in the morning. I'm like, just give me a second. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's cute. And it's funny, too, because when she was a kitten, she would do the same scream, but nothing would come out. Like, it's the same face she would make.
Oh, okay.
But she couldn't produce
any
sound. Yeah. So it would just be like.
And then one day it just came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's very squeaky.
It's like with puppies when they try to bark and then. The first time they bark, they scare themselves.
They're like, whoa, that's jarring. Yeah. I love dogs, but I don't know that I want to live with something that barks.
Yeah.
I find my neighbor has like one of those little yappy chihuahua types.
Yeah.
I hear it constantly.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to record things, record auditions, record voiceover because I have a decent mic at home. So sometimes I'll actually record the commercial on my mic. And then I have to like hold for sound because this like yapper is just barking away. I'm like, come on, dude. Shh.
Yeah, enough with the barking.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know.
Last few minutes. Did you see this viral video of this 4-year-old tipping his hat to Disney, to Snow White?
No.
Yeah. It's like there was the parade, I guess. Or maybe it's not the parade, but, you know.
What is it? So 4-year-old tipping hat?
Yeah, his mother shared the video on social media. More than 30 million views. He tips his hat. They call him the true gentleman.
Oh, my gosh. So silly.
People brought to tears. What do you mean you brought to tears with something like this? Come on, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
He literally just did that.
Yeah, like, he's got a Mickey Mouse
like
hat.
It's like not that exciting.
They probably didn't even tip the hat. They just took it off or something and they thought it was, who knows. But it brought tears to millions of people.
Jesus. All right.
I don't understand. Whatever. I just don't, you know.
Yeah. Man, people...
Have you been following this case with the girl that was killed by her boyfriend?
Oh, they're not sure.
That's a story that's coming out.
Kind of here and there. Supposedly the area she went missing in, they found her remains, by the right. way. But supposedly the area she went missing in, people go missing in all the time.
Yeah, but, well, maybe, but I can't see how he's not involved in this.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, he's disappeared. He's yeah. vanished.
And then they found her in Wyoming.
Right. And yeah, in that state park? I don't know. But yeah. Yellowstone, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're from Florida. They took a trip to Oregon with a van. And I guess they were seen fighting or arguing in the parking lot or something. Mm. And someone called the police in Utah. And so there's like a footage from the cop's camera where he told her, he says, "You're in a toxic situation." He told her that.
Mm.
And so, and then, you know, the boyfriend went back September 1st without her. And I don't know what he expected. And they let him go. I mean, I think they asked him some questions or something, or they said he was a person of interest, but they let him go.
He's not a suspect?
No, I think now he is.
How
but he wasn't
be?
Then. I don't know, because it was too early in the game, I think. You know, they didn't know even that she was dead yet.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it says he was arrested a day ago.
He was arrested?
Yeah. Is Spencer man arrested at Indianapolis Airport?
No, I don't think that's that.
It's got her same face on it.
His name is Brian Laundrie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Her name is Gabby Petito.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, you get all these abusive relationships, and that's what I've been reading, is that they haven't had really exactly a smooth relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go on a trip and you spend 24 hours a day with someone that you're not getting along with.
Totally.
That's a recipe for murder, man.
Yeah, I mean...
For someone who's a wacko like he must have been, because...
I mean, you gotta really trust somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like my friend and I used to hang out on his rooftop, and we used to talk about how much we really had to trust each other, that we weren't going to push each other off.
Yeah.
And it sounds silly, but to be honest, you people are crazy. I mean, my roommate was asking me some New York stuff yesterday, and I was telling him, I remembered there was a period of time where there was a guy on the loose that was going to all these different subway stations and pushing people onto the tracks in front of trains.
Yeah.
You know, just at random. He pushed, it didn't, it was any age, any color, whatever, you
right.
know, he was just pushing anyone at random.
Just whacked out completely.
Yeah. So like, you know, you don't even have to trust the friend you're with. You have to trust that the people around you aren't going to push you into traffic at a, you know, at the crosswalk or something.
I know.
It's not, people think that sounds crazy, but it's not crazy. They think it sounds crazy until it's in the news for happening. And then they go, oh, wow, that's crazy.
And this stuff happens all the time. I mean, I'm reading like in New York, you know, where you have the subway and everything.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and a lot of people walking. That's where all these things happen, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's scary. I mean, with the trains and everything, all the stuff that happens there.
All sorts of stuff. We had a guy that was walking around and throwing semen on people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, how lovely.
That was happening for probably about a month.
Oh, really? He was doing it on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah, it was on a regular basis for weeks.
Oh, wow. That's disgusting.
I know.
All right, well.
And we took a dark turn.
Yeah, we better change the topic. Yeah. We are out of time, Jen.
All right.
We thank Dr. Ellen Leica for calling in and making us feel a little better.
Thank you.
Everybody take care. Jen, you take care.
You take care too.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.